It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we will share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, interviews with some of your favorite musical artists on Arkansas Sounds, content from the Butler Center's collections, information about what's happening in the library system, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the Cals Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio Cals, including links to resources mentioned in our segments, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org.
More than 300 events, including story times, film screenings, book sales, concerts, lectures, and more, are happening at Cals. Pick up the Spring Programming Guide at any Cals branch or visit cals.org to view our full calendar of events. It's all here!
It's time for Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, who is senior editor and columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and who writes the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, who is the executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council, talking about Arkansas food, festivals, and folks.
Well, another Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul. I'm Rex.
I'm Paul, and I'm ready to chew some fat, Rex.
Well, let's start chewing. Unfortunately, a lot of the news in early May was just dominated by the terrible flooding.
Terrible.
In northeast Arkansas, and it started up around Corning and Pocahontas as they had those torrential rains the last weekend in April up in Missouri, and that all had to move south, and then it came down the Spring River, came down the Current River, came down the 11 Point, flooded the Black. The Black runs into the White, and then it started moving downstream to Newport.
Worried about Dodges now, aren't we?
And to Devall's Bluff and to Clarendon. But what I was going to say, Paul, is just a couple of weeks before all of that rain, I guess a week before all of that rain, we had a delightful trip for the annual meeting of the Arkansas Historical Association to Pocahontas, which has become one of my favorite towns of that size in Arkansas.
It really is amazing, isn't it, what has happened in Pocahontas. Yeah. It's a vibrant downtown square, and, you know, the venue was the old courthouse, which is in the middle of the square.
Mm-hmm.
But two other meeting places that they had the sessions was at used to be the old Imperial Theater, which is now a dinner theater.
Right, a dinner theater.
Wonderfully
appointed. Was their old movie theater built in the 1940s.
The Imperial. I used to go there all the time. And then a dance studio.
It was called a clogging company.
On earth is going on.
Yeah.
Luckily, they're on the mountainside, the hillside of Pocahontas of Randolph County. And
They're up on the hill.
It's sort of startling the difference between Pocahontas and Walnut Ridge. But Pocahontas is still vibrant economy, and maybe it's more diversified. I don't know, but it's still got a lot going on in Pocahontas.
All right, I want to go back there, and I want us to do two things. That square has the oldest continuously operating barbershop in Arkansas with the wonderful name of the Sanitary Barbershop.
Yes.
We wouldn't want an unsanitary barbershop, obviously.
Yes.
Been in business since 1894, Paul. So I want to go back, spend the night, and get a haircut one morning and visit with the old boys at the Sanitary Barbershop. And then also there on the square, now it's had different names, but I was reading the history. Futrell's Drugstore is apparently the oldest continuously operating drugstore that's been in the same location all these years. Futrell's still has a soda fountain, an operating soda fountain, and it's apparently where the locals gather for coffee
still
every
morning.
So we can get a haircut at the Sanitary Barbershop and then go over to Futrell's and have coffee and compare political notes
stay
with the locals.
At the Les Meister guest house right there on the square, which is wonderfully pointed. You know, one of the futile girls married one of the Rorick's boys from Imboden. They now live in Imboden.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm from Imboden.
That was pretty quick this week.
I've been feeling guilty that I neglect to get into Imboden like 20 minutes in, so I thought I'd get it out of the way. It was a great conference, though, I thought, Rex.
They've done some neat things downtown, and the fact that you still have things like Futrell's Drugstore, like the Sanitary Barbershop, I just think makes Pocahontas almost a throwback in the downtown area,
at least. It really is.
You go downtown, and I thought that was great. Now, I didn't book quickly enough to get in the Les Meister. They've only got a few rooms, and so I didn't get in there, but the eminent Arkansas historian Dr. Tom DeBlack did have a room, and he was gracious enough to let me come around and tour his huge room. But you've stayed there before.
Yes, Jen and I stayed there. It's a wonderful place. I never do it justice. They think it's like the Days Inn. No, it's better than the Day. It's like the Alluvian.
Yeah.
Or 21C or so. It's just fantastic. And that's, you know, the old boy that created it, that built it, is a dentist there. And that was this historic preservation tax credits and all that really caused that to happen.
You know, we have a move, I believe, that has happened more and more in recent years, and that's rediscovering our downtowns, which, of course, we spent all of the 70s and the 80s just totally ignoring and moving out by Walmart and the strip centers that would build around there and out toward the highway and out toward the interstate. I mean, same story in town after town in Arkansas. But it seems like we are really, in a lot of Arkansas towns now, rediscovering the old downtown sector. And so, you know, you and I are discovering some hidden gems. We talk about the Les Meister, where you can spend the night there in Pocahontas. But down the road in Piggott, on an earlier episode, we talked about the downtown,
again,
the old
square.
Bank building that they redid there,
the thing
where you can spend the night. That's really encouraging, seeing things like that happening in places like Piggott and Pocahontas.
The thing they have in common is that they're not tearing the buildings down. If you look at downtown Imboden, nothing left to restore there. And a lot of the towns are that away. There's nothing left. You know, I'm reminded of the film that we sponsored on the Dreamland Ballroom. And
on
they
Ninth
talked
Street
about what happened to 9th Street. And there none of those buildings are there now. And one of the guys on the film said, you know, if we'd kept the buildings, it could be like Beale Street now. And so we're seeing that Pocahontas is, I don't know what the newest building is, but none of them there are very new. And they're all full. There's something all the way around the whole square. It's really, really an amazing place.
Yeah, you mentioned on 9th Street and what happened there during so-called urban renewal back in the 60s and 70s. But my office is on the 14th floor of the Simmons Tower in downtown Little Rock, and people will come in, and just because you're as high as 14, they'll say, what a nice view. And I'll say to them, it's really not a very nice view, because I look to the south towards 630, and most of what I can see from there are surface parking lots, because those were the areas that we just destroyed during the urban renewal process. Now, my old office, when I was with independent colleges, I had a much better view, frankly. I was in the old Twin City Bank building, now the U.S. Bank building in North Little Rock, and I was looking at the river and the Little Rock skyline. But my view now, I think about how much we destroyed during that era. And I remember I did an interview once with Jimmy Moses, who we both know has been a real visionary for downtown Little Rock. And I said, what's the biggest drawback in your mind to downtown Little Rock? And he said exactly what I'm getting at: too much surface parking and not enough density.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Too many surface parking lots.
Thank goodness we didn't tear down buildings where we are now.
And
through their vision and Bobby Roberts, Central Arkansas Library, and folks like that, and the city of Little Rock too, we now have the River Market and some beautiful buildings and a really neat place to visit. And Pocahontas, while it's not as big as those places, but still, it's pretty remarkable that they've managed to keep that in a way that's obviously economically viable. Because I don't think any of those are state or county offices. I think they're all private business in the whole square.
Absolutely.
Which is a really good thing.
Well, seeing that the Austin family has refused to open a bed and breakfast in Imboden, I actually stayed a little further down the room. I couldn't get into the Lesmeister, and you know I'm not much for chain motels. I like to discover things. So I ended up staying over at Hardy in an old house right there on Main Street, built of native Ozark stone with the appropriate name of the old stone house.
Right.
Bed and breakfast. And, Paul, I know it's hard to stay that close to home and not stay with your mother, but I would absolutely recommend it sometime. Vicki Rice was the innkeeper. Mm-hmm. She's on both the city council and the Advertising and Promotion Commission, I'll have you know. So she Hardy. Really promotes Hardy.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Boy, she prepared a good breakfast for me both Friday and Saturday mornings.
Well, we met Just you there that night. We have our standing gang of how many ever we can get to go with us and have our dinner, and we had three doctors with us, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess I should say, no one had a medical emergency because these were all historians.
That's right. That's right. PhD doctors.
Yeah, PhD doctors.
Polo diggers, as my daddy used to call them.
That's right. Exactly. But they're good dinner companions, I'll say that. Yeah. But we ate at is it Bigger's Bluff or just Bigger's?
Well, it's the Bigger's Bed and Breakfast, but it's the Bluff Steakhouse.
Bluff Steakhouse, yeah.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, what a beautiful view. Now, this
spectacular
is
view.
Just outside of Hardy, right on the edge of town as you're going north toward Mammoth Spring, and it is overlooking the Spring River up on a big bluff. Great steaks, great service, and a beautiful view. And I'll give you credit, Paul, you selected it this year, and again, a place I had not been before, and I can't imagine a much more delightful location for a Friday night
either.
Dinner.
Or
a Thursday night dinner.
And it would be a great place to stay at the bed and breakfast because it looks like the rooms all overlook the bluff. And you're overlooking the Spring River, and you can see the beginnings of Cherokee Village. It's just a gorgeous place. And, Rex, you can get alcoholic beverage there.
There you go.
I mean, that's different. I guess Sharp County went wet 2 years ago, maybe.
Several years ago,
like
maybe a little longer than that. I think they may have gone the same time that Clark County did.
I remember when
same election.
The lady was taking her orders, and she asked me, I said, well, I'll have a Diet Coke. I think you got tea, and
had iced
Tom
tea.
DeBlack got tea, and Ben got tea, and she got to Bobby Roberts, and he said, well, I'd like scotch, but she said, well, we have that.
I'll be right back.
Well, we all stood up, changed our orders, and made for a delightful evening.
Well, again, the old stone house is right there on Main Street in the downtown district. Now, Bigger's is a little further on out, but you can walk through downtown, and there's a restaurant there. There's a coffee shop there. They have taken those old buildings, some antique stores, and people told me. Now, I came back over to Pocahontas for the conference, but people told me that on Saturdays – downtown Hardy is basically a giant flea market, basically, for which people come from all over. And you've told me about some of the traffic jams you've encountered there.
Hardy is, I don't know, is there 1,000 people? I doubt if there's 1,000 in Hardy. They have a bypass.
Exactly.
It gets so
busy. So you don't
busy.
Have to go through downtown anymore, yeah.
I can remember the first time I was aware that Hardy had changed, because it used to be like the rest of these little
just kind of dried up.
Completely dried up. There was nothing there. All vacant buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And we were home in Boden for Thanksgiving, and Mother said, well, why don't you and Jan, and we're all going to get together and drive up to Hardy? I said, for what? Well, they've got some stores. And, Rex, we got dead stop traffic 5 miles out of Hardy.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Just bumper to bumper.
Bumper to bumper.
Going to Hardy.
Yeah.
You're listening to Radio Cals on KABF 88.3 FM, Little Rock.
Well, I picked up the boys in Pocahontas, and we headed over, stopped by the Eddie Mae Heron Center. They had a reception. And I thought, well, Ben Johnson asked where would we meet. And I said, well, let's meet at Eddie May Aaron. They've got a reception. Nobody's going to be there, and I don't want Pat Johnson to have her feeling hurt. Well, you couldn't find a parking place. It was full of people, and they had a great job.
And to back up for our listeners, this is the African American Cultural Center
Center in Pocahontas.
Which used to be the black schoolhouse in the era of segregation.
Yeah. Where they have the famous hog killing every year. They did a great job. So we loaded up in our vehicles, and they followed me to M Bowden so I could park my car. I wouldn't have to drive back because I was staying at the Austin compound.
Yep.
And so then we got in Ben's car, and we did a tour going to Hardy. We toured Raven Den, which is, you know, that took a minute and a half, I guess.
But they did see the big raven.
Saw the big black raven.
You do have the giant raven right there on the highway.
And then we did a little detour and toured Williford. Mm-hmm. Home of famous historian Mike Post and noted Razorback fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, Williford takes about 30 seconds to tour Williford. So.
Yeah, I didn't get off the highway and actually go into downtown Williford as I went back and forth.
Probably
days.
A good idea. Yeah. Of course, that's side of the famous time.
But
that
you didn't have time to take them up to – you went to Raven Den, but you didn't take them up to Raven in Springs.
No.
Test the water as
we
you
We did not test the water, no. That's too far. Plus, you know, the people in Raven Den Springs, a little sketchy. You got to be careful. You don't want to be caught after dark in Raven Den Springs. Just kidding. You know, I went to Baptist camp, summer camp at Raven Den Springs.
Well, there are some neat old buildings, and I guess what was an old hotel left over from when it was a resort decades ago that still are there. They're empty now.
Turn of the century, but, people from Memphis would come over, and it was a big deal and take the waters. Yeah. And evidently they had 8 or 9 springs. Each one would cure rheumatism and I don't even know what all. Tuberculosis, syphilis,
well,
I'm not sure.
Again, and we've told this story before, but again, we have we walked down the stairs to the stream there, to one of the springs, and you actually were the first person in about 20 years, I think, to turn on the faucet, and you were the only one that put the water in your mouth after out.
I will say this, there's probably plenty of iron, wouldn't you suspect? Because things are a bit rusty. But the water was clean and delicious, and I didn't get sick. I felt pressure. I felt like I had to after I'd run my mouth the whole time.
Yeah, that
so
you had to test the water.
I had to test
then,
the water.
Yeah.
But, Now, Rex, you then went up to Mammoth Spring the next day.
I was going to tell you about my Friday night outing. Yes, I, seeing that the Arkansas Historical Association did not see fit to give Chewing the Fat any kind of award, as they should have this year, I skipped the awards banquet.
Good. Protest. Me too.
Oh, I've done enough banquets for this year, let me tell you. I've spoken it enough. I didn't need to sit through one. So I skipped the awards banquet, went back over to Hardy, and checked into my place again after the Friday sessions. And then I road-tripped up to Mammoth Spring because you had told me about La Pastorella on an earlier show.
In Mammoth Spring.
German place. Who would guess? Great Bavarian food in downtown Mammoth Spring, Arkansas.
It's unbelievable.
And it was just wonderful.
It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was kind of a foggy, rainy night, so there was only one other guy. He was an attorney from just across the border in Thayer, Missouri. And we visited there, but the couple that runs it were there, and I had schnitzel and spatzel and some strawberry cake afterwards, and it was delightful.
It's well prepared. It's authentic German, Bavarian, as she points out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, again, they don't have as many antique/junk shops as Hardy does, but Mammoth Springs got a great little downtown street there,
too. They've kept
their buildings. And they've also got, as we've talked about before, they've got Fred's Fish House there in Woods River Bend. So it was hopping on Friday night because those two places are a big draw
in Mammoth
Springs.
Yeah, they really are. And you're right across the highway from one of the great state parks of Arkansas, Mammoth Springs State Park.
And, oh, yeah, the largest spring in Arkansas. And this is why it's fresh on my mind. I've written one of my newspaper columns that will be running soon on Hardy and Mammoth Spring. But largest spring in Arkansas, second largest spring in the Ozarks, and the seventh largest spring in the United States is Mammoth Spring.
So, well, Rex, my sister and brother-in-law were up there, I guess, just after the flood was receding. But it was full, and she said it was unbelievable, the water pouring over the dam there.
Oh, I bet.
At the river
bend. Yeah, where it comes out. Yeah, there's a 10-acre lake there called Spring Lake, and then it comes over the dam, which is, was originally built in the 1800s to power a grist mill and a cotton gin there.
There's a back road, Rex, from that you can take from Mammoth Spring, and you come out. It's probably 3 or 4 miles, follows the river, and then you cross an old one-lane bridge across Spring River.
Oh, neat.
And you come out about 2 or 3 miles out of town.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful drive. And it's lined with nice homes, getaway homes on the river there. A lot of people from Memphis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the time I had dinner there at La Pastorella, there were two guys from a big trout fishing club that has a lodge there on the Spring River in Mammoth.
Neat.
And it's upriver enough that you don't get the canoe traffic that the rest of the river gets.
Well, again, in my research, this is just not off the top of my head. It's just because I wrote a column, so it's fresh on my mind. But the National Fish Hatchery that is there in Mammoth Spring was established in 1903. I had no idea. It is one of the oldest fish hatcheries in the National Fish Hatchery System.
No kidding.
Yeah. And that's because that water came out millions of gallons a day.
Naturally
at a constant
cold.
58
yeah.
degrees.
Yeah.
They had plenty of water.
Yeah. It's a great place to fly fish.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, a lot of people came through. Mammoth Spring and Hardy were both railroad towns. They were established in the 1880s when the railroad finally came through that area. And, again, reading the history was fascinating to me. Hardy, you mentioned people coming over from Memphis, and it was became a retreat from people getting out of the hot Delta in the summers and going up to where it was a little cooler in the mountains. But Hardy got its big break when a train had mechanical problems there, and a very rich gentleman from Memphis started just walking around to waste some time, basically, while his train was being fixed with his wife, and they fell in love with the place. He came back and built a cabin. Then he bought more land, and he built cottages. And that started a real flow as he spread the word back in Memphis of people that would come over and build either rental cottages or build cottages for themselves. And eventually there, in the early 1900s, there was a big Boy Scout camp that was established in Hardy. There was a big Girl Scout camp and a YMCA camp that was established in Hardy.
Well, I went to Boy Scout camp at Camp Cedar Valley, which is now part of Cherokee Village. They they bought it, and it was there then, but they hadn't expanded it. And Rex, we swam the swimming that we all had to do was in Spring River.
Oh, in the spring, wow.
So if you did
nice
your,
and cold when
nice
you got in
cold,
the water, then that's
current,
cold for swimming, yeah.
And you could do the mile swim to get your mile swim badge, and it was laps. You'd go back and forth up and down the river. Of course, down river was easy. Coming back up was not easy. But that was Camp Cedar Valley, which is now their homes all over it. Before we, since we're sort of in Northeast Arkansas, I must give a shout out to Jim and Jenny Wingfield from Mountain Home, who it turns out are huge fans of Chewing the Fat, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my son Josh, his wife Candace, her brother is married to Julie, used to be Julie Wingfield, and her dad, I believe, is from Arkadelphia, Jim
Lots
Wingfield.
Lots of Wingfields
and
she
said,
in Clark
Paul,
County.
He calls me every time he's through listening to Chewing the Fat and recounts it almost word for word.
Oh, my gosh.
Loves, so I have a feeling, even though I can't confirm this, there may be a Chewing the Fat fan club in Mountain
We're
Home.
We're big in Mountain Home.
Big in Mountain Home, which means a road trip to Mountain Home.
Well, I was just through Mountain Home on Sunday. I wish I had known.
Perfect.
You could have. A group, and it's pretty nice that we're able to do this still after all of these decades, but a group of my old college buddies from Ouachita, we get together every year, and there were 20 of us this year, so it's a pretty good-sized group.
That is a good group.
That get together, and for about 3 consecutive years now, we have gathered at a place just below Bull Shoals Dam called Sportsman's Resort.
Is this sort of revival prayer meeting Bible
so
study?
Yeah, a little revival and prayer meeting,
okay, good,
and
good.
Watching the Kentucky Derby, too.
Well, there's that, yes.
But anyway, I grow mint, and I won't tell you what I use the mint for on that weekend.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
But we get together there, but oh, it was just, you know, the weekend before we would have washed away because it was flooding so much, but this weekend, the weather was just absolutely perfect that we did it this year. And the way we look at it, Sportsman's is nice, but it's more of a old-fashioned Arkansas fish camp.
Yeah, right.
Which I like. You like big bunk rooms in one of the places we stay in, and everybody snores, so it doesn't matter anymore. You don't get pointed out for snoring because we all do.
Yeah.
I think there were five of us in the room that I stayed in. But we do that, and I know Gaston's is a wonderful place and the most and the fanciest, really, of the trout resorts up there. But Gaston's is a little too nice for my group,
right.
I think. I think we'd get called down for talking too loudly or whatever.
Or snoring too loudly.
Yeah, or snoring too loudly. So we say it's Sportsman's, but it was nice. But I worked my way back across the river on Sunday. We broke up on Sunday morning, so I went over to Gaston's and had breakfast there. I know you've been in the restaurant there, which
is really nice.
Beautiful right on the water. And I had my Sunday breakfast there. Then I crossed back over the dam and went to the Jim Gaston Visitor Center that overlooks the dam and overlooks the lake and the river up on the hill. And it is probably the nicest. And we've got some nice visitor center at our 52 state parks, but it's probably the nicest of the visitor centers.
So this is a week after the flooding. So what was the river status then?
Well, they were holding it back because of the flooding downstream. The Corps of Engineers was holding the water back in Bull Shoals. So the lake was very high.
Probably Norfolk.
But the river was just placid up there because they weren't letting any water all out.
So that's probably coming.
They'll have to start letting it out later.
Yeah,
absolutely. But the river was just perfect. But I would highly recommend that visitor center. I got tickled at reading. You know, I'm the type, my wife will go to a museum about with me. We've talked about this before, and she wants to rush through, and she won't take the time to actually read everything, which I do. So they have a framed copy of the Baxter Bulletin from the summer of 1952 when President Truman came and dedicated Bull Shoals Dam. But Truman, being the feisty character that he was, took pot shots at Arkansas Power and Light, which, of course, was the big corporate political player in those days in Arkansas. And AP&L, of course, did not want the electricity competition from the REA at the time, Rural Electrification Administration. So they argued that really you either had to do something for flood control or electric generation. You couldn't make both work. And apparently they made this model to show that it couldn't work. So Truman uses his whole dedication address to basically said, these people were fools, and I'd like to see them up here now, and I'd like to see them bring that silly model, because here it is, and it's working. But I found that very interesting that Truman would use his appearance basically as an attack on those from AP&L who had criticized the federal government for the project.
You know,
they started. Now, Norfolk was completed during World War II. It started around 41 and was completed in 44. They didn't start Bull Shoals Dam until 46, and it was completed in 51, actually.
Yeah.
That's Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals, with Rex Nelson, senior editor and columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the writer of the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. Thanks, Rex and Paul.
Want to know what's happening in the world of cows? The new programming guide will help you navigate the variety of youth and adult programs, book clubs, movies, and more across Cows' 14 branches, the Ron Robinson Theater, the Butler Center, and River Market Books and Gifts. Look for the programming guide in a branch near you or visit cows.org. Chewing the Fat is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening.